Amen. That's a good song, good prayer. Bible says to light yourself off the Lord and to give the desire of my heart. If that's the desire of our heart, then we can learn to delight ourselves in the things that He delights Himself in. Man, I tell you what, He not only can give us the desire of His heart, He wants to.
Amen.
And good to be here tonight, and the privilege, and the flyers I saw. I saw in a day we were at a restaurant, and wow, very professional, very good, and one was given out. We took one of my tracks and stuck it in it, and I brought a couple hundred of them tonight, and put it back there, right by them, right by the flyers. So if you've, that might be a good thing to take, stick in there, and even if the person doesn't end up coming to this meeting, you still get the gospel that way. Plus with what's in your flyer. And amen. I just want to let you know they're available. There. Yeah. I was told several years ago by dear brother Wendell. We come down here from the north, and it's a blessing to get down here when the weather's nice. Amen. You know that. And as I mentioned that, Brother Kincaid said, San Antonio is where the sun spends the winter. I know how you're rubbing in like that. And then he said this. The problem is it also spends the summer here. So this right here is a couple things about, you know, you live in the desert when you no longer associate bridges or even rivers with water. Or if you could say 110 degrees without fainting. Yeah, you know you live. And if you can eat hot chilies to cool your mouth off, then you might be living in the desert. If you know how to make instant sun tea. Yeah, sun tea. Yeah, you're living somewhere where the sun spends the summer. Amen. If you found out that a seat belt makes an incredible branding iron, and if the temperature drops below 95, you're a little chilly. You're looking for a long sleeve. Yeah, you might live in it. And you discover that in July, it only takes two fingers to drive a car. Yeah. And you never think about it in vinyl upholstery in your car. And you find out you can get a sunburn right through the car window. And some of you know, I'm not even asking for a show of hands. And it's the best parking place when you go to a store, it doesn't have anything to do with how far it is. It's just the place with the most shade, right? And I'm looking for the best one here. It's noon in July. Kids are all on summer vacation. And the streets are empty. Nobody's outside. Amen. I go to 5,000 Arizona. When I leave here, I go to Arizona. And for the first time a couple years ago, I saw a little sign on the side of the road I went to church that advertised, gave a phone number for an exterminator in case you have a need for scorpion removal. Never seen that in Ohio, I guarantee you. Amen. If you couldn't be in church on a Saturday night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Friends, and make some new friends, and even better than that, get God's book, try to get something, take your Bible tonight, and turn to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. You know what I like? I like it when things fall together without it being orchestrated and planned out, and then some place you go, everything is so, I don't know, like orchestrated, for lack of a better word, that you just wonder if God even knows that there's a meeting or not. And sometimes with the songs, you know, the preacher say, well, I'm going to preach on this, or sing this, and you over there, remember that time, you give testimony, because that will go with my message. You know what I'm saying? I like it when God does.
Right.
Yeah. And so Brother Bill's up here talking about revival, and we need a little reviving, and that's the subject for tonight's message. And we did not communicate. Because after like 5 years, he still won't even give me his number. He's afraid I'll call him and ask for something. I don't know. But Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 8, let's look at that verse and then we'll preach out that verse. He writes this right here. And now for a little space, grace hath been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Again, the subject tonight is a little reviving. That's what we need. And you know why? Because the fact that we brought out of the scripture last night, we live in perilous times. This is also the last day, perilous times shall come. What if God's people need in times like this? To stay in the good fight of faith, a little reviving.
Amen.
We need a lot of reviving, but we're going to take it a little bit at a time so we can stay in this thing as long as the Lord wants us to stay in this thing. Brother Bill said, is there any more announcements? There's a church out outside Gallup on a reservation, Navajo reservation, and the pastor there, every time he got on the pulpit to do announcements, his first and foremost announcement was, the Lord's coming back soon.
Amen. I like that.
We need to keep that in mind. Amen. And we need to be ready when it comes. And I'm not just talking about being saved. I'm talking about being found faithful. I'm talking about nurturing a desire to hear well done. I'm a good, faithful servant. Amen. I'll tell you what, give us what we need against this wicked world. It's a little reviving on occasion. And then what Ezra is asking the Lord for. And so I want to preach on, we're going to break that verse down because there's a lot there. And so let's pray. Father, I love you. Oh, I thank you. I thank you for grace. I thank you for mercy. I thank you for love. Thank you for patience and long suffering. And I thank you for not just the Bible, not just the gift, but I thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can encourage one another to stay in the battle. Sometimes it gets hard. And it's supposed to. It's supposed to, so we don't get too comfortable down here. And Lord, we long to see you. And we want to be found faithful. So I pray, Lord, you out of the passage tonight, help me say something that help us all get stirred up a little bit.
Amen.
Made aware again of some things we already know. And Lord, if that can happen, we sure thank you for it. Give you credit for it, glory for it. And Lord, if there's somebody in our midst here on this Saturday night that's not saved, I pray you make it real easy for them to see tonight that whatever issues are going on in their life, and we all have issues, there's no more important issue than settling the one that concerns where the soul is going to go.
Amen.
When it goes.
Yeah.
And so, Father, again, thank you for grace, and may you be pleased with the message tonight. By the preaching of it, by the response to it. And I pray that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we'll just break the verse down. It's kind of fun. It says there, and now for a little space. Now, you know, it's space. What's that? Well, let's just go with the age-old Bible method of letting Scripture define Scripture. I mean, I got my idea, my thought. So do you. It'd probably be absolutely accurate, a little faith. We're not talking about going to the moon here. We're not talking about NASA. We're not talking about, I guess maybe this could be considered the Lord's space program. Amen. It's in there. And now for a little faith. So take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 8. Let's get the Bible definition for it. For space. Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 1. And the Bible says this. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, I don't say I agree with this at all, but I've heard this verse used as a definitive proof that there'll be no women in heaven.
Amen.
And I mean, 30 minutes is a long time to keep silent. And I'm just saying, I'm just repeating that because I'll tell you my experience on the road for 20 years now, is that most of us men can't keep quiet for 30 minutes either. That was how I cleaned that up. So we'll move on. Amen. Here's what we're going to get here. It says, there's silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. A space is an interval of time. An interval of time. Our text said it now for a little space. We're talking about an interval of time. Go back to Revelation chapter 2. I hope the women didn't have all the checkbooks because I think I quit the spirit here. Amen. Revelation chapter 2 and verse, we see 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffereth that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, Jezebel is absolutely the wickedest female in the entire Bible. Absolutely. And I'm going to show you what how God dealt with that. Look at the next verse. And I gave her space.
Thank you, Lord.
To repent of her fornication. I mean, the Lord, if we talk about saving from the uttermost to the guttermost, I'm talking about this gal was guilty of slaying the men of God, the prophets of God, of slandering the word of God, and still God was willing to extend his mercy to her. That book says that he gave her space to repent.
Amen.
I would not give any of us also an opportunity to get right. How could he not want us to repent if he was willing to forgive Jezebel? I've had people say, I've done too much. My friend, none of us have done too much. All of us put together, couldn't do too much for God.
Amen.
Sad part is, the pastor said he gave his faith to repent, and she repented not. That's her problem. That's her fault. I guarantee you she's repenting of it now. Have been for thousands of years. I'm going to say this to you, though. He's given us, listen, we're in a meeting here. There's a purpose for this. God wants to work in our hearts. If there's an area in your life, big or small, that needs to be repented of, he's given us space to do that. And if you don't, if you go on this thing after 10 days with a testimony like Jezebel, and she repented not, I guarantee you this, there'll be no revival for you. This will be a long week. Amen. I'm going to tell you something Andrew wrote there. And now for a little space, and space is an interval of time. And God's given us an opportunity, an interval of time, and a place, and an appointment. Amen. I have to put the cares of this life on a back burner and try to concentrate on the things of the Lord, to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And amen. Get serious. What a blessing.
Amen.
There's places all over this world that wish they could do like we're doing right now.
That's right.
Gather like we're gathering right now. Let's make the most of it. Let's redeem the time.
Amen.
The days are evil. So the first point is now for a little space. And then the verse goes down and says this. Grace. You know, if that isn't one of your favorite Bible words, Christ is being just saved. Amen. Because that's how you think. It says, a grace has been shown from the Lord our God. Amen. Grace defined as free, unmerited favor of God. Let me say, first of all, I'm glad it's free. Yeah. I got things in the jail cell. Amen. I can't remember if my little jailhouse uniform that I was in there had pockets or not, but it wouldn't have mattered because I didn't have anything to put in them. I'm telling you, I'm glad that the grace of God, that the mercy of God is free. Amen. I'm glad it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift.
Amen.
Free and unmerited favor of God. Say, yeah, you certainly did deserve it. Hey, you be the one to break it to you. Neither did you. Nobody earned their way. Nobody's getting in except through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, you have access to God because of grace. Amen.
Amen.
Grace, grace, God's grace, Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. I love that, don't you? Turn! It's one of my favorite Bible words.
Amen.
Much better than parole. Much better than probation. Amen. I like that. Amen. I was stalling there because I forgot the second part, but I got it now. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace. Help me out. Grace that is greater than all. Oh, amen. That's good. We're going to be a fire tonight. Amen. Only one of us wasn't on key, I think, with me. Let me tell you something tonight. We're talking about now for those things. Grace hath been shown. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20 in the Bible says this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. First time I read that, I got saved in jail. I got out of jail. I was waiting to be sentenced. I was on a pre-sentence investigation. I was going to church. I'm trying to read my Bible. And I get to this place in Romans chapter 5. And it says, moreover, the law entered. Boy, and I start thinking about the day of the law entered. Boy, they entered with a battering ram. They entered with body armor. They entered with M6 chains. And I'm going to tell you what, before they left, the offenses abounded. And after they took all my stuff, they took me. And I was locked up. And that's what I thought about when I first read this verse. Moreover, the law entered. I bet the offense might abound. Look at another verse. I'm finishing. But where sin abounded, grace did much more.
Amen.
The Lord. Amen. Oh yeah, thank God tonight for the grace of God. It says, and we know the words in Romans 3, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 23, familiar verse, amen, often used, amen. But in the next verse is this, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Amen. Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, thank God for grace. That book says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you know the verse, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith in the Lord Jesus. Yourself.
Amen.
It is the gift of God.
Amen.
And the verse 9 says, not of works! Not of works!
Amen.
It's like any man should boast. God got it set up like this because He'll not be sharing His glory when we get before the throne of God. He knows us. He's got our track record. He knows our frame. I'm telling you, when we get into problems, we forget we're dust.
Amen.
We start thinking we're highly of ourselves. And we should, and He's not going to be. Boy, I'll tell you what, I see people, I see preachers, I see Christians. Yeah. Brag on, excuse me. Brag on things going on in their life down here. That they didn't have much to do with it all.
Right.
That somebody praying for them probably had way more to do with it. But they'll take credit for stuff that God did. He didn't put up with that down here for a while. He ain't putting up with that in heaven. Nobody's going to be bragging on themselves, their good deeds, their good work. Not up there.
Right.
Hey, we're all getting in the same way. Amen. I think one time I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look at the maniac Gadara. And I'm going to ask him to take and show me introduce me to the thief on the cross. And someone said, Brother Spurgeon, why would you do that? And I said, because the three of us, we're going to shout it out for the glory of Jesus Christ, because we're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only reason we're there is because of His grace.
Amen.
Absolutely no merit of our own.
Amen.
But the truth is, the same goes for everyone of you.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Others are getting there through the merit of our own. We're getting there because of grace. It says now for a little grace.
Amen.
Grace hath been shown. Thank God for grace. You know what? It has never been easier. Amen. Never been easier to get saved.
Right.
In the history of man. Amen.
Yeah.
Than it is right now. In this parenthesis. Called the age, the dispensation of grace.
Amen.
I got news for you. Once this age ends, once that trumpet blows, once the church is taken out of here, it'll never be this easy
that's
again.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
And I tell you what, don't get left behind.
Amen.
Don't you risk it. Say, well, I don't agree. But you better agree with God.
Amen.
You don't have to agree with me. I don't agree with me sometimes. But you better, we're talking about eternity. You better find out what God says.
Amen.
Amen. You better line up with what God says. That verse said this, and now for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God. That's a good place for amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then it goes on to say, to leave us a remnant to escape. A remnant to escape. Alright, now, Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, I said that you're familiar with it, I'll trust. You will be when I read it. It says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that, watch these words, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
That's right.
Whoa. Talk about an indictment.
Yes.
I have had people try to say that we're there right now. Really? Well, what are all you?
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting there. I mean, the devil, the God of this world has his way. That's where we're headed, but we're not there yet. Why? Because there's a remnant.
Amen.
He said he'd leave us a remnant to escape, and God always had a remnant. Amen. That refused to go with the flow. It says in, we're talking about in the days before the flood there in Genesis 6, and the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of those times, and I believe it was Luke chapter 27, that'd be interesting. I didn't leave the reference in my notes, but it says this, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came, and destroyed them all.
That's right.
Every human being on the face of the earth was wiped out in that flood. You say, wait a minute, Brother Bridger, what about Noah? That verse says in verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah wasn't on the earth. And his wife wasn't, and his daughter-in-law's weren't, and his sons weren't, and they didn't go down with everybody else. Why? Because they got on the ark.
Amen.
Why'd they do that? Because God said to them.
Yes.
There's always been a remnant.
Amen.
Did what God said, no matter what anybody else has. Brother Roland and I were talking today, the situation in the world today, what you see is anarchy in the world.
Yep.
Anarchy. That's the goal. I mean, you look all over the world, rampant crime, blatant crime. Amen. And impotence and just mocking the laws and mocking everything, claiming it's the right. You got anarchy in the world. Then you got this kumbaya group hug, Jesus loves your religion all over the country, building cathedrals that are packed with thousands of people. You can fill a building if you make them feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't ever preach on sin. Amen. You can fill a football stadium. You can fill a church. Amen. If you can call it that. My problem is driving around as I see most people are already feel too good about themselves.
Yeah.
They need to be made aware they're sinners and God's not pleased with that. And then they need to be made aware of how they get that thing right. God made it so we can get it right. Well, what we see out there is we see anarchy in the world. Well, it's the devil's world. We see apostasy in the church. Well, you can read all about that in Revelation chapter 3, man. But I'm telling you what, I'm glad I don't have to be included in that group that says, I'm ready to be preached with good and I need of nothing. I'm glad God always let the remnant.
Amen.
They refused to go up the flow, but I'll tell you something else. The third A in that little outline was apathy in the pew. I mean, those of us that are saved, and those of us that do believe the book, and the world is going the direction it's going, and the church is going the direction it's going, and some of us, we got it. We got it. We're saved. But instead of getting out there and trying to make a difference, we got indifferent.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes we convince ourselves that all there is, maybe it's because of the apostate Christianity of this age has made it easy for us to convince ourselves we're more spiritual than we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because we don't do this and we do this and we go to church and we deal with this. And all that's well and good. That's not what the Lord left us here for. Amen? Apathy in the pew. What do you do about that?
Yeah.
Well, one thing. First of all, you have church every week. You have somebody pray to you every week. You have somebody teach you the Word of God every week. And then every once in a while, you have a revival. So you don't become apathetic because
Amen.
It is a principle in your Bible. No matter what everybody else does, there's always been a remnant that refused to go with the flow. Amen?
Amen.
That's the side I want to be on. Amen. That's the side I determined and purposed in my heart I will be on.
Right.
How about you? It's scriptural. It's okay. You can't say, well, it doesn't matter. Things do matter. God left a remnant in every captivity. Folks that just, amen, did not give up on him. The purpose to keep doing what he said. And guess what? There was always freedom eventually. Well, we're not at home, but freedom is just a call away for us, child of God.
Amen.
All right, so you got the words there in Ezra chapter 9, verse number 8. And now for a little space, grace hath been shown. Thank God, amen.
Yes.
Not to, from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape. Take heart, man. Take heart. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing.
Amen.
What are you doing?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
What are you doing to encourage others? Amen. To fight the good fight of faith. Alright, and it says to leave us a remnant to escape, and then it says to give us a nail in his holy place. I like that. I think about that a while. But I'm here to tell you something tonight. If you're saved, you've got a nail in his holy place. You know, you hear the expression, get something nailed down. That means get it settled. Are you saved here tonight? Amen. Alright, let me illustrate like this. When something's nailed, it indicates that it's fastened.
That's right.
Secure.
Yeah.
I grew up in the carpenter's home. Amen. My dad could drive a 16 penny nail with one hit. Set it with one hand and drive it. Amen. I've seen him do it on 8 millimeter. You know, whatever, those little, remember the world? Some of you go, boo. When my dad nailed something together, it was what?
It was secure.
Yes.
Amen. They used to build houses like that. They used to put roofs on with hammers and nails. Now you go through a housing project and all you hear is zzz, 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 zzz. They still make hammers. Everything pneumatic. Everything electric. Amen. Everything's screwed down. It may be better than I know it is. I go up to the carpenter's home when my dad put something together. It stayed together. I saved them here tonight. I'm going to tell you what, you got a nail in this holy place.
Amen.
You're secure.
Amen.
You're secure as a child of God. You mark that down. Say, but other people say, hey, they've been wrong before. They're wrong about this.
Right. Yeah, right.
Here's what the problem is. Everybody gets standing and state confused.
Yeah.
You're standing. Are you born again? You're standing as a child of God. Is secure.
Yeah,
it's
secure.
It's nailed down.
Thank you, Lord.
And what?
Yeah.
Nailed into the hands and feet of our blessed Savior. Is he your Savior tonight?
Yeah.
Now here's the deal. Your state, like I said, standing in state. State. Your state can change.
Yes.
Mine changes all the time.
Right.
A week ago, I was in Louisiana.
Right.
Yeah, weekend before that, I was in Memphis, Tennessee. Amen. Because of what I do, my state changes. Because of what you do concerning your conduct, your state, your relationship with Jesus Christ, your fellowship with the Lord can change. But don't you confuse that with the fact that your standing as a child of God is nailed down since it's secure.
Yes, amen.
In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You didn't get it? How can you mess it up? You're a gift.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. It said to give us a nail in his holy place. And boy, I tell you what, I got issues, I got struggles, I got thinking flesh, just like you do, but I'm going to tell you one problem I don't have. I don't wonder if something I've said or done has cost me my a spot in eternity.
Amen.
I don't worry about that, because the Bible said it doesn't.
Right.
Amen.
So don't worry about that. So it says, I have to give us a nail in his holy place. And I like that. I like reading about his holy place. I like trying to imagine. The Bible said, but as it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love us. But it's fun to try sometimes. It's, I get going through the foundations, amen, of that holy city. And when I get to that 1%, for it, it sounds like a vegetable to me. It loses me. I don't even know. I can't even imagine. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2. We can't even, neither have entered into the heart of man. We can't even imagine how wonderful it's going to be.
Amen.
I just know I'm glad I'm going. Amen?
Amen.
It says to give us a nail in his holy place, but I'm going to tell you what, as much fun as it is to think about heaven, as much a comfort as it is to know, amen, on the authority of the Word of God, that if you're saved, that that's where your eternal soul is going to be. I'm going to tell you something. It says this in Psalm 122, verse number 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad God's given us a little family, a little haven of refuge down here, a place where we can get away from the devil's music, get away from the cussing, get away from everything that's the conniving and all the stuff that's going on there. I'm glad that he's given us a church where we can assemble with and get together and sing those godly songs and see what God said. That, I'm thankful for the church. I don't get it. People can sit home and watch TV when their church is going on. I don't understand that. When I joined the military, I became a paratrooper. I committed above and beyond. When I got out of that, I joined a motorcycle club, and you know, I'm not bragging on that, but I committed all the way. When I got saved, it just seemed reasonable to me that the Lord Jesus Christ needed the same dedication.
Amen.
That we give to other exploits in our life. And boy, when I saw that Bible that it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another to so much more as you see the day approaching. I looked at it, I said, okay, cool, that's what it says. That's what we'll do. By the grace of God, with the help of God. And hey, there are plenty of times where I didn't feel like going.
Yeah.
You know what I found out on many occasions, and I'm not just saying this, I found out that though the night where I even remotely considered, and this was as a young Christian, not going because I didn't feel like it, but I went because I was supposed to, remember that? It's called character.
Yeah.
Doing what you're supposed to do regardless of how you feel.
Right.
What is it? Feeling thing. I'm taking it. Touching feeling, yeah. Amen. Boy, the nights that I went, there was a few. Those were the nights God spoke to me. Those were the nights I knew that it's a good thing that I went. I think God never underestimated the importance of the church. I mean, come on, Jesus Christ founded it. Jesus Christ loved it. Jesus Christ gave himself for it. And we ought to take it a little more seriously.
Amen.
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 Amen. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad for the church. I'm so glad for a place to come. Amen. Yet, you know, conversation my wife and I have never had. See, these little, I hope she's probably not happy that I even said that there was ever a time in my life where I didn't feel like going to church. Because I probably never admitted that to her before. That was as a young Christian, not before God put us together. I'm going to tell you a conversation we've never had. She would have never married me if I was in that condition. I guarantee it. Her and I have never, ever had this discussion. Honey, you feel like going tonight? I'd be afraid of what she would do if I said that. Yeah, I mean, we have a frying pan. It's a no-brainer. Not forsaking the assembling of our, it doesn't start with, I beseech thee therefore, brother, by the mercies of God. It's imperative. It's a command. Amen. I know you don't like being told what to do.
Amen.
You think I do?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, there's something more important than me to get in my way.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm selfish too. I need the blessings of God on my life. I've come to find out that he blesses Obedience. I come to find out in 1 Samuel 15 that that's more important to him than sacrifice.
Amen.
And you come back on what you did, and God's got a list of what you did. Like, be faithful to go to church.
Yeah.
Amen. The male in his holy place. I like thinking about heaven. But I tell you what keeps me focused on heaven is making this a non-negotiable part of my life.
Yes.
More than once a week. Like I say, I'm in church a lot. This is 10 days straight for you. Amen. I was in church 5 days in a row with 1 day break, and then 4 days in a row with 2 day break. And I'm driving. I'm in church almost every night. This is what we do. This is what keeps me out of trouble. Because believe me, I'm going to get trouble. But I know who got me out. And I've not got over.
Thank you,
Jesus
Lord.
Christ, get me out.
That's right.
When I even consider guys like, you know, Brother Kincaid, Brother Beach, and a host of other friends that I have, they'll provoke me to get right with God. We're men.
Yeah,
they can talk to me like a man.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's what you need to do, is get your feelings off your sleeve.
Amen.
And man up.
Yeah.
You guys say cowboy up. And cowgirl, I suspect. I was in the food farm the other day. 20 teachers would say cowboy up. I'm thinking, we ought to Jesus up. That was in my notes, because that wouldn't resonate in New Hampshire. But amen. Of course, I'm the text says this. It says, and now for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. And to give us a nail in his holy place. Then look what it said. That our God may lighten our eyes. Our God may lighten our eyes. Paul's commission in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18 goes like this. He had given his testimony before Agrippa. And in the course of that thing, he's directing them. He's telling them what our God commissioned him and what he told him to do, and here's what he told him to do. Pardon me. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we need God to lighten our eyes.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, that's ride around in old days. And we'd ride around in summer and bright. Sun's out, it's bright. And, you know, your eyes, your pupils dilate. I might have it backwards, but it doesn't matter. We'd go to bars back then, and bars were dark. And if you ever saw one with the lights on, you know why they're dark and filthy. And we'd go in, and then, of course, we were fighters and had a lot of enemies, and we wanted it that way. But what you had to do, if you stopped in one of them places in the daytime after riding around, you had to go in, and you can't see because it's dark, and the pupils are dilated, right? And here's what you do. What I would do, you just go in, get inside the door, and step back against the wall and look tough. So you're really blind for a little bit. You are, because you can't right here. And you know what happens in just a short amount of time? Your eyes get used to the dark.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it didn't change in there, but you get used to the dark, and then you can move around and function and find somebody to punch, I guess. That book says in John chapter 3 and verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. You know why we need God to lighten our eyes? That's part of the prayer. Amen. That ever made, that our God may lighten our eyes. I'll tell you something, beloved, our eyes have gotten used to the dark.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We need God to lighten our eyes, to show us once again the wickedness that's around us so we can see it for what it is instead of making excuses for it.
Yeah.
That's what we need. That's why we need a little. Man, I'm telling you, there's so much compromise going on. There 10 years ago were unacceptable, and now all of a sudden, well, you know, I'm going to tell you, yeah, I do know. There's some things I know. And by the grace of God, I'm going to hold on to them. You hear me? And I'm going to tell you what we're going to need not to go with that flow that I talked about earlier with that many people that maybe some of them very much were very much like-minded as you as far as their stand on that Bible and Holy Ghost conviction. Now they're just going to go, well, let's not be too judgmental. No, I guess not. Let's let God judge them at the great white throne. And maybe when they give a reason of why they rejected the gift and the grace of God, and maybe the Lord will just, as he's saying, depart from me, accursed, in an everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You might want to consider, while you're there in the host of the forgiven, the redeemed, you might want to consider the Lord looking back over his shoulder like he did Peter in Matthew 27, 26, and making eye contact with you, because your name just came up as an excuse for somebody rejecting Christ, when that is exactly the opposite reason God left you here. We're to point people to Calvary. But I tell you what, letting everything slide and it's okay. There's people that are going to, you're not going to go to hell. Your sins are forgiven. I get it. I'd rather, and I'm not talking about being rude, crude, aggressive, but I'm talking about I'd rather run the risk of offending someone here with the truth. At least the byproduct of the truth is that it'll make them free. Might not that minute, but eventually the truth works effectively. I'd rather run the risk of offending somebody here by letting them know that I care about their soul than watch them get kicked off into hell.
Amen.
Amen. I understand. It says in Matthew 7, enter ye on the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way, lead to destruction, and many there be that enter in therein. I understand most people are going to end up in hell. It won't be the Lord's fault. He's not willing that many should perish, but I don't want it to be my fault either.
Yes, amen.
I want to stay sensitive to the matters, to the issues that are important to God. And the only way we're going to do that, especially in this fast-paced world we live in, the only way we're going to do that is, on occasion, often, sometimes more often than other occasions, we need God to lighten our eyes.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
And then it says, now here's our subject. It took a long time to get there, didn't it? It says, and give us a little reviving. That's what I long for. Amen. And truth of the matter is, I've just been a camp eating it. Tech in Houston on the way here, a couple days. Stop by on the way here. I get preached at about four times a day for a couple days. Amen. Preachers need too. And I tell you what, I got a little revival. Got stirred up. You know what? One of the things is because of some of my old friends and fellow soldiers that were still in the fight.
Amen.
But there were pews that were empty that once were full. It's sad. I don't want to be a casualty. Amen. I got started too late. I was almost 38 when I got saved. Bible Christianity is not a phase. I want to finish.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't you?
Yeah.
I need a little reviving if that's even going to become a possibility. And I know we live in wicked times. But it says this in Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Trouble in the world doesn't prevent revival. Trouble in your family doesn't prevent revival. Amen. Trouble in your life, it increases the need for it.
Amen.
Amen. And it's usually the ingredient that causes people to seek it. Because when everything's going just fine, it is a sad testimony to mankind that we think we can operate without God on a daily basis. But every once in a while, he's got a way of showing us we need him, doesn't he?
Yes.
Amen. Next thing you know, oh God, I've tried everything else. Now you got to help me. And I wonder if he's not going, why would you come to me as a last resort, child of God? Why don't you come to me, your gracious, kind, heavenly Father? Why don't we go to God as a first resort?
Amen.
Then we wouldn't have to the problem we have. Mark it down, my guarantee.
Amen.
We need a little revival. David prayed in Psalm 85. He said, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? You know what that tells me? it's scriptural to desire revival.
Amen.
It's scriptural. And this isn't some hokey pokey thing. This is scriptural. We're talking about revival. We're talking about searching ourselves so that God can move and get things right. And then when the Spirit of God bears witness to something free, get that right down. I don't care where you do it. But I'm going to tell you what I encourage you to do. It's scriptural to desire it. It's scriptural to pray for it.
Amen.
That's what David's doing. Amen. Wilt thou not revive us again? I need it. Amen. You need it. We all need it. Amen. And so it's safe to say we're here for the right reason. I hope we're asking God to give us a little reviving. Well, in that verse, isn't there? It says, and now for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving. And the verse finishes with these three words. In our bondage. In our bondage. You know, and it's something with all the promises and examples and warnings and precious truths from the Word of God, we are, every one of us, are still in bondage to a flesh. Amen. That has no desire to serve God.
Amen.
We're in bondage to a flesh that the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. He wrote that to a church, to same people. The spirit lusteth against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you want. The flesh does not go down easy.
That's right.
Especially when it's being fed by this world and by the godless world on a regular basis. Yeah. It says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. And if you don't make a point to do it, amen, if you don't get a little reviving, that flesh will run with the ball, my friend.
Right.
Amen. This flesh, my flesh, your flesh, has no desire to set its affections on things that can't
right.
see.
Right.
It's all about me, now, here. That's the way it is. That's the way we're all under. And if we can get some victory in that area, guess what? It must be God. Okay? And it must be God that deserves the glory.
Amen.
All right, so let me read the text again and wrap it up. It says, and now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. And that is the desire. And the prayer for this week is a little revive. So, if you need a space to repent of something so that our desire may come to pass for you, well, he's giving it. He's giving you an opportunity to search your own heart right now. Amen. And just be honest with you. And we're not asking for a show of hands. We're just between you and God. I get that. I'm glad it's like that. But boy, you know, you can fool other people. And now my Bible says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and death for the wicked. You can fool yourself.
Yes.
You know what we get? This intense dose of Bible preaching for a number of days. We get to do some serious examination. Amen. And you might come up with something like, oh, wow, I never looked at it that way.
But amen.
God, help me with that. Or I'm sorry about that. Repent about that. And he's given us this faith to repent. Let's do business with God.
Amen.
Amen. And if you take it as grace for granted, you know the thing about a gift, and it's so easy. They say, you get what you pay for. And you know what? What you get great, you don't appreciate it. That's human nature. So what does God do? He gives us eternal life. And then the challenge is to stay close enough to it so that we don't take it for granted. And I've been guilty. And so have you. Amen?
Amen.
And so, but if that's your situation tonight, well, ask God to forgive you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He will. He knows.
Yes, sir.
He just lets it be our move. He's given us a chance tonight to deal honestly with his spirit. And, you know, I'm glad you're here on a Saturday night. Some of you are here on a Friday night. That's good. That's good. But I'm going to say to you, if your flesh has been running the show, you know, the rest of the 22 hours in a day, you need to do something about it. You need to put it on notice. You need to repent of it. You need to confess it to God. You need to get it right. You know what? Get up and get back in the fight.
Amen.
That's what you do.
Amen.
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 And you're not, anyway, take one of them. You're not where you should be with the Lord. And then be honest with yourself and deal with it. Get the thing right. Amen. You'll be glad you did.
Amen.
I guarantee that. It's time to give spiritual things and spiritual attention. Let me say this. If you're not saved, Jesus Christ himself said it several times in John chapter 3, ye must be born again.
Amen.
People end up in church because they're trying to get a new start, or get some victories, or turn over a new leaf. Well, I'll tell you what, you can get all the victory in the world through every program in the world. Some of them help. Some of them are based solely on Bible principles. They ain't going to get you into heaven, sinner friend.
Amen.
You've got an appointment with your maker. And if you're not prepared to give an account of your life, if you're not prepared to meet him as Savior, you'll meet him as judge.
Yeah.
That one says in Hebrews 10, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands
Amen.
Of the Lord God. I've been
Amen.
In court more times than I want to admit, and it's serious business when you stand before a federal judge like I've asked you, and that's nothing compared to standing before God.
Right.
You have rejected an opportunity to get a pardon, to get mercy. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. You need to get saved.
Amen.
If you're here tonight, you don't know what I mean. You're a little vague on, man, there are men and women all over this room. Probably the person that invited you and brought them. And maybe a parent. Amen. Maybe one of your kids. Who knows? There are people all over this room can open the Bible and show you how easy it is.
That's right.
And it's easy. He made it easy enough for folks like me to get it. But you're not gonna get it until you come to Christ.
Amen.
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 So, with all that being said, you're never gonna find a better deal than the gift of eternal life. Maybe
Amen.
You got it. Maybe you got it now.
That's right.
He made it easy to get saved. Maybe the Spirit of God bore witness to something tonight. You need to get that thing, get it fixed up with the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
That's what time is right now. Let's bow our heads, pastor, whoever's coming to come. Now let's do business with